Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Wrapping up 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We're about to find out the final job numbers for last year. They come in at 8:30 Eastern. The U.S. economy hasn't had a net loss of jobs in any year since 2001. But in the waning months of last year, hundreds of thousands of jobs disappeared. Economists think the final tally will be 500,000 jobs lost in December, 2.5 million for the year. The unemployment rate could hit 7%, a 15-year high. Another report out today rips the Treasury Department's handling of the bailout money from Congress. The report says the Treasury seems to have very little idea of what that money is doing. More on this from Marketplace's Janet Babin at North Carolina Public Radio.
The report comes from the panel that's overseeing the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP money, approved by Congress. Back in October, the Treasury Department began distributing the $700 billion rescue fund to banks in an effort to stabilize the markets. But the Congressional Oversight Panel says details about exactly where the money's going are slim. According to the bipartisan report, there's some evidence the Treasury doesn't know how banks are using the government cash. The panel says the department didn't even respond to some of its questions and provided only spotty answers to others. The report also faults Treasury for ignoring homeowners near foreclosure. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Overseas today, stocks were mixed in Asia by the close. Same story in Europe so far, just waiting on the U.S. jobs report. The Dow is at 87.42 after losing a fraction yesterday, about 27 points. The Nasdaq gained 17 to 1617. Among the many things on Barack Obama's plate is the issue of health care. Obama has his own proposal for universal coverage. It's just one plan. A report out today looks at what is economically viable. Here's Elisa Roth.
The Commonwealth Fund looked at a bunch of proposals designed to get health insurance for more Americans. They're a private foundation that tries to promote a better healthcare system. And basically what they found was that several of the proposals could work, but the key is forcing people to get coverage. Sarah Collins is the lead researcher on the study.
It's very difficult to get everyone covered unless there is a requirement. And that obviously has to be coupled with strong affordability standards, making sure that people have subsidies, with particularly if they have low incomes, to allow them to afford a comprehensive plan.
The study points out that universal health care wouldn't be free. The federal government would most likely have to spend more, but the country's total spending on health care wouldn't go up by much, especially if the plan used economies of scale to lower costs. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com.
Authorities have uncovered another Ponzi scheme, this one in Buffalo, New York. An 82-year-old businessman is accused of defrauding investors of $17 million. He did this by taking out ads in Catholic newspapers. Richard Piccoli of Gen C Capital was offering 7 and 8% returns on real estate mortgages, but what he really was doing was using the money to pay off his other investors. And he kept about $600,000 for himself. The feds say Piccoli appeared to deliberately target church, clergy, and organizations. In this kind of economy, houses of worship might just have more visitors. The churches near Wall Street have definitely seen more people coming in, and some of those churches are using the economic fallout to pitch their message. Ashley Milne-Tite has our story.
Look up at the ornate exterior of St. Bartholomew's Church in Midtown and you'll notice a couple of posters. One features a photo of a trader, his hand clapped to his forehead. On another, an office worker peers worriedly at a computer screen. The posters are part of the church's latest marketing campaign. William Tully is the rector of St. Bartholomew's.
Actually, we got a complaint from a parishioner who thought that they were too graphic and that we were exploiting the crisis. And she said, when I look around the place that I work, I see people like that. I don't want to come to church and see them.
The message on the posters reads, "A church for these times." Tully says St. Bart's just wants New Yorkers to know it understands what they're going through and that it can help. He says the move seemed fitting given some of the church's neighbors.
Two blocks one direction is the corporate headquarters of J.P. Morgan. Two blocks the other way, the corporate headquarters of Citigroup.
And in every direction, there are layoffs and fears for the future. Tom Eric is St. Bart's development director. He began to notice more foot traffic in September.
We saw people coming into church, business people, men and women in suits, just sitting in the pews, some holding their heads in their hands. We had an increased attendance at our midday Eucharist, and that has continued.
The darkened mood is also being felt downtown. At Trinity Church on Wall Street, the Reverend Mark Bizzuti-Jones says he's seen people crying, praying, and seeking counsel.
I have one guy in particular, and I'm very moved by his story. He felt so overwhelmed that he was losing $2 million every 2 weeks for many of his clients.
That money manager was at one end of the scale. At the other, he says, are the office cleaners and nannies whose jobs depend on Wall Street money. He's met with some laid-off workers who can no longer pay rent. He says he's humbled every day by what he hears. Still,
finance is an intricate part of religion. And so I'm glad that, you know, as a religious person, I get to talk about how this financial crisis touches us at the core of who we are as human beings.
Even as his church helps some of the newly destitute feed their bodies, as well as their souls. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Share your feedback with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.